Good morning, church. This morning we have a shorter sermon because of the extra music that we're playing in the service. And because of that, I also wanted to talk a little bit about hope. Hope. Some of you know that I wear a necklace around my all the time that says hope on it. Others don't know that. But how many of you would like to have hope? How many of you would like to have hope? Go ahead and honk your car horn if you do. I just need you to know that in this day and age where there's lots of things going on in our world where it seems like there isn't any hope or something wrong has happened or something like that, there's a scripture that comes to mind for me. This is the way I memorized it from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. It's a return to your fortress, O prisoner of hope. Return to your fortress, O prisoner of hope. But let me read the whole context. Some of this, you'll know that this is a really famous sort of context of this verse. This is from Zechariah 9 and following to about 15. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. See, those are two very famous sort of verses that are used in other places. And your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed in blood, I will free your prisoners from the waterless dungeon. Come back, this is verse 12, come back to the place of safety. That's return to your fortress in the way that I originally learned it in the translation I learned. Come back to your place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. Return to your fortress, O prisoner of hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your trouble. Judah is my bow and Israel is my arrow. Jerusalem is my sword, and like a warrior, I will brandish it against the Greeks. Zechariah was prophesying right in this middle of this time. The Jews had just come back from, not Babylon, but Cyrus had released some, Xerxes had released some of the prisoners, and they'd come back, and Jerusalem was all broken down. Nehemiah had gotten permission to rebuild the walls and not leave it in ruin, and yet the people around them were attacking them, and so they were building the walls, holding a spear, and doing all that all at the same time. So this is the time when Zechariah is here. Later on, he says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of compassion and supplication, so that when they look on him who they've pierced, they will mourn as one mourns for an only child and weep for a firstborn. That's a Zechariah 12:10. So Zechariah is right here in this spot, and he knows what hope is going to do, but he also knows that hope dashed, this is from God, that hope dashed is worse than not having originally had hope. And so we have to be very careful about where we take our hope from. Zechariah is going to do this. You have hope, return to your fortress. Who is your fortress? Who is the rock on which you stand? Right? This is just straight up Christian jargon, isn't it? That he has lifted us out of the muck and the mire from Psalm 40 and set us upon the rock. Fortress. He is a fortress for those who seek after him. Return to him. All those of you who still have some hope. Now, if you don't have any hope, I admonish you to then pay attention to the Zechariah 10 thing, that when it's time to get hope, you need to come about it in the right way. And some of that is that the human hopes just don't work out. That new car isn't going to solve it. The new house isn't going to solve the problems. Having more money or the new job will solve some problems, but it's not going to give you hope. Actually, my experience with it is that every job that I've ever had, even being a pastor, has some things in it that I don't particularly like to do or want to do, and they pay you for that. It's called a job. If you got a new job and new work, you're going to have some of that work, but you do it because it takes care of you, and God has provided a way for you to care for yourself, but He's also led you to a spot where you can have hope for a new day. But if you do that, you need to have that hope, not in human things, but the Lord that cares for your needs. You're not going to wear Him out. He's not going to run out of money on you to take care of your needs. Now, if you're only wanting wants, then He might run out of time for that, just like everybody does. But here it is in Zechariah 12:10. When we... The need for hope comes out of understanding that the one who is pierced for us, and then Zechariah 13:1, on that day there shall be a fountain opened up for the house of David and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. This is the source of hope that we have that Jesus is going to provide. It's essentially the umbilical cord of earth has been sort of strangled or cut off, and it comes down right through Jerusalem, right through the heart of the cross and the victorious tomb location, and out of that goes living water, as Revelation would say. It gets deeper and deeper the further it goes from the center of Jerusalem. It gets wider and bigger on that day, and then in Zechariah 14:8-9, on that day, living water shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western. It shall come in summer as in winter. In other words, it doesn't run out. It just keeps flowing. And the Lord will become king of all the earth. This is not just provision for that special family. This is provision for anyone who comes to Him. This is your fortress. That this is the hope that lasts. This is the hope that bubbles up in your life and spills out all over the place. This morning, as we are here in this spot with COVID and with tough financial times in our country and political strife in our state and all of that stuff, I want to ask you this morning, if you will return to your fortress that is Jesus, the one that we have pierced, the one who opens up the fountain from God that cleanses us from sin and uncleanness and flows through us winter and summer alike, always caring for our needs. This morning, if you'll return to your fortress of hope, oh prisoner of hope, that we would become prisoners and captured and filled and overflowing with this hope. This morning, if you're willing to do that, come to the fountain that is Jesus. In His precious name. Lord Jesus, we thank You this morning that You have given us a hope that does not run out. It does not run dry. It doesn't go through seasons of unfillingness. Now, we might go through those seasons, but Lord, we ask You to bring us back to our fortress of hope, that we might be prisoners to the hope that You provide, not destroyed and broken by the hope that we seek to do on our own that just will never work out. Be with us this morning, Lord Jesus, in Your precious name. Amen.